Okay, well, this morning we're going to begin a new series. Tyler kicked it off and kind of shared with you the heart behind what we are trying to do, right? Because we've been in the book of Luke for like 2.5 years, I've heard. That's what I've heard. I haven't been here that long. I've been here 9 months, but I've been in the book of Luke for a long time. I love it. I love actually learning, you know, through all the scriptures and just being able to see, you know, this gospel, the representation of who Jesus is to Luke, the physician, and just how amazing he was able to put down into words Jesus' life. So after that, we got all the way up to resurrection. We kind of took a break in between. We'll go back when Pastor Doug gets back here. But we got up to the resurrection and Easter, and then we spent a significant time, couple months, on the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the Holy Spirit and how he works in our lives and how he uniquely gifts us. Dwayne, Pastor Dwayne did an awesome job last week. Thank you so much for being here for Father's Day and teaching us and closing that out for us and showing us what it means to be filled with the Spirit so much that it empowers the church, that it encourages the church that other people might come to know Jesus. And so this summer we're taking a break and I just thought, you know what? You guys, you called me, you laid hands on me, you brought me on staff to be your formation pastor. And so we're going to do a series that's formational. Shocker. And if you're like, what is formation? Real easy, I'll put up on the screen for you. Formation is the process of becoming more like Jesus. It's the process of allowing God to shape and continually being formed into Jesus's likeness, not in just what we believe, but in who we're becoming. And that's my heart for all parts of our church, for children, for teens, for Crescendo, for Sunday. I love being a part of this and thinking through what does it mean for us to grow and become more like Jesus. So you already saw on the screen, it's actually a giveaway, but I wanted to search the team that's teaching over the summer with me. We were kind of thinking about what would we want to do and who would we want to focus on? Who is somebody who really has a great story of formation in their lives? And that was David. That was David. Scripture calls him a man after God's own what? Heart. He's a man after God's own heart. And many of you probably have studied the story of David before. Maybe you've heard about how he slayed Goliath, you know, the big giant Philistine. You may have heard of how he became the king of Israel and he was in Jesus's lineage. You probably heard about his devastating failures in life, right? With stealing Bathsheba and having her husband killed. And these are all these stories of how David lived, right? But what more importantly, I want to focus on, we're going to do things differently. This will be a David series that you do not expect. This is going to be the heart of David. How does a man live in such a way where he makes mistakes, he has fear, he's confused, he gets angry, he has victories? How does a man continue, become the king of Israel without some amazing formation of God in his life and in his story? He was a man after God's own heart. God allowed that to be in scripture to point to us and show us that he was a man that was learning to walk with God. He was continually being formed to think and to process and to wonder. And so we're not going to study the biography of David right now. We're actually going to get into one of the most famous Psalms. We're going to study his heart, Psalm 23. And I love David because, I don't know, are any of you guys a journaler? Any of you guys write down your prayers? I do that to focus. Okay, good, a couple of you. I got my first journal when I was at a women's retreat. I was like 19 years old, and this sweet lady, Patty Record, gave me one. I was just there to help sing in the worship team, and she gave it to me, and she said, you should write your prayers down. I think God would love for you to just kind of soak in that, and I didn't really know what that looked like. It shaped who I was, and thank God I'm not like David, where these will end up becoming scripture, because guys, it's a mess. My journals are like crying and begging and pleading with God and all kinds of anger and like, this person said this and this. I mean, there's so much and just, God, I love you, but what's going on? There's just so much there. So I know right now that we are live streaming this service. So hi, if you're watching from home. And I'm going to use this recording as the last will and testament of Brianna Elise Johns to my family. Hey, family. I, Brianna Elise Johns, require you to burn all of my journals after I pass away, because they're cringy, as the kids say. They are cringe. Okay, so the heart of David, this Psalm 23, you probably have seen Psalm 23 on a Hobby Lobby sign. You've probably seen it or heard it at a funeral, or you've memorized it in Sunday school. For a brief period of time when I was younger, my parents actually put me in private school. So as a first grader, I learned in the King James Version, Psalm 23. And I can tell you, more than 40 years later, it is still stuck there in my heart. Even not growing up really with a Christian family life, Psalm 23 is a first grader, is like a six-year-old, seven-year-old, is still there. I'm going to prove it to you, okay? I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to recite it. And what I want you to do is I want you to focus first on David's heart, even though there's the thous and the anointest and all those things, okay? I want you guys to focus on that and not grade me for my memorization. Because it's a nerve-wracking to have people watching. I can do this without you, but it's a little, okay. So here we go. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me through paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How'd I do? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Who put that slide up there? Oh my gosh, not me. So the teens just got back from camp. It's been really great to hear my boys sharing about their stories. When I was a teen and I went to summer camp, we had a trip. I grew up in California. This trip on a houseboats on the Sacramento River Delta. It is kind of murky and mossy and gross. But we would do like skiing and wakeboarding, and we'd get super sunburnt. And there was this tradition every single year where we would initiate the freshmen into something. Well, I'll just tell you, there was an island that you could swim to, like a swampy island on the River Delta. You'd jump off the houseboat, and you'd wear your life jacket upside down like a diaper, and you would paddle to the island, and you get to this, you get through like leeches and disgusting, like who knows if there's dead bodies in there. You get there, and you're dressed in all camouflage, because we're going to go sheepin'. We're going to go sheepin'. This island had abandoned sheep on it. I don't know how they got there. Maybe they'd been there for years. They were huge. They were so neglected that they were like big beasts, right? Of wool that had been dreaded with like twigs and can I say this? Jake's like, don't say this. Dingleberries. Things hanging off the rear. They were disgusting. They smelled, they have, you know, flies flying around them. They were so gross, but they were real dumb and they were really fun to ride. So we get on the island, there'd be these berry bushes in front and everybody'd get some berries and you'd get the war paint going. Everybody's like, you ready to do this? We'd be so quiet and we would go and we'd creep up. You could hear them, meh, meh, you know, we could hear them. Like, we're getting closer, we're getting closer. The freshmen are peeing themselves. They're so freaked out. And this is where you send the boys first, right? All right, we're going to go sheepin'. You take a running leap. When you spot one, you run as fast as you can, and then you do kind of a squirrel leap, and you jump on the back, and you grab that nasty hair, and you take it for a ride until it pushes you into a bush. And that, my friends, is why I'm so glad we don't have social media in the 90s, because PETA would be after us. My parents would be suing the sunshine place that we were at. That was just what my summer camp memories were made of. Not beautiful sunsets on a cliff. Sheepin'. And what I learned from that is that sheep are not super smart. And they need a lot of help. And if they don't have someone to care for them, they are like these stinky beasts that get lost. I actually read something this week about animals that couldn't survive in the wild. One is pandas. People believe that they're like genetically manufactured by China, that they could not survive in the wild. Also, Shih Tzu dogs, which I have two. They could not do it. And the same thing with domesticated sheep, right? They need a what? They need a shepherd, right? Because they lack claws. They don't have sharp teeth. They can't run fast, not super fast. They lack navigational skills. They can't locate fresh grass or water on their own. This sounds a lot like me when I go camping. And they'll wander off, and when one is spooked, they all decide they're spooked at the same time and run together, and sometimes over a cliff. They're not super smart. They need a shepherd, and David knew this. David knew this because the greater part of his early life, he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd, and he would tend to a flock day and night, sometimes 1,000 sheep, and he would make sure that they didn't eat poisonous plants, and he made sure that they were groomed, and he made sure that predators didn't come in and eat or kill or steal them. He made sure he helped when sheep were giving birth. They need aid in giving birth. Their number one job, a number one job of a shepherd, is to make sure that the flock is safe. And what's cool about shepherds that David knew is that when his presence was in the midst of this flock of sheep, the sheep didn't have to worry or fear. They just got to enjoy and graze and get sun-kissed and live their lives, and their shepherd watched over all the dangers that happened around them. They had no idea. And he would lead them to where they were supposed to go. And I'm going to just, real disclaimer, I probably should have said this earlier because I was talking about how not smart sheep are. I want to make sure we don't get stuck or distracted on that modern usage of people being like sheep. That's become so political and harmful, and that's not what Psalm 23 is about, so please don't go there. Psalm 23, this scripture in God's poem, is not about the sheep. It's about the good shepherd. It's not about the sheep. It's about the shepherd. It's about God's constant and present love and protection for us. And David understood this. And so he wrote, like journals, songs and poems to God about how he was doing. This was the formational part of his story and his life with God, is that he didn't hide anything of how he was doing with God. He shared it all. And in the midst of really hard times in his life, he wrote Psalm 23. And what I love in this poem is that David takes pride in belonging to the good shepherd. So let's go back to the scripture. Let's take it piece by piece. In David's Psalm, verse 1, it starts off with, "The Lord is my shepherd." Emphasis mine, that capitalization is mine. He didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Shepherd. And there's so much to unpack in that statement, right? The Lord, the God of all the universe, is mine. I belong to him. And he shepherds me. He cares for me like a shepherd protects the flock, like a shepherd guides the flock to where they need to go. The Lord is my shepherd. There's identity in that declaration there. There's a belonging. I was bought by him. Did you know that shepherds, or when owners bought sheep, and then they had shepherd watching over them, when owners bought sheep, when a master bought sheep, they would have their ears marked to show that they belonged to that house, that there was an identity there. There was an identity that you belonged to that shepherd, that master over your life. And the shepherd didn't have to worry. Okay, next verse. "I shall not want." We're going to stay with the King James Version. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In other translations, it's, "I lack nothing." Or, "I have everything I need." Did you know David wasn't writing this poem, this song, as a shepherd boy? He was probably writing this when he was hiding in caves from King Saul, who wanted him murdered, who was chasing him, who was terrorizing him. or during the time when his son Absalom was creating a whole civil war to gain the kingdom. There was so much family trauma. He was in major, major trauma at this time. And he writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." He draws back from his days of being a shepherd boy out in the fields, being able to sit and see God's goodness in all of nature, to be able to experience God in a vast way and understand the relationship a shepherd had with his sheep. And he paints this picture. There's this metaphor that documents just this absolute reliance on God to guide him through this hardship, to protect him, to provide for him. And I think about this personally, like when I put something in God's hands, when I'm going through, when I'm in a cave of my life, maybe you think about a time when your life got super dark because of circumstances or because of maybe your own struggle, your weaknesses. When you're in your cave of life and you're trying to allow God to guide you through it and you put something in God's hands, this is what I look like. Me trying to monitor the thing I left in God's hands. Like, hey, it's me, just checking on the status. Are you with me in this, God? Are you going to get in the cave with me? Letting God be your shepherd and the one that satisfies your needs and saying, I lack nothing because you are my shepherd, that's a posture of what? Surrender. It's a posture of surrender. It's admitting that you're in the care of someone who loves you, even when there are those jump scares, those things that happen in life where you want to jump off a cliff. I've shared with some of you, but maybe you haven't been hearing all of my story if you're newer today. One of the most intense seasons of my life was when I stepped out of full-time ministry. And I know that that doesn't make a lot of sense, but if you've ever left a church family or a church community, you feel just the grief of that. And I got to the end of myself. My family got to the end. We had just been in such an environment that was toxic that it was so grievous to feel God telling us to step away. When we had been there for 13 years, where we had come, I was 29 years old. All of my 30s, I left when I was 42, had babies there. Jake and I were married 1 year when we got there. We moved states to be a part of this community. We did life together. We were in, you know, people's, you know, baby shower, weddings. We were a part of life. We had a youth group. It was really, really great. And letting that go was probably one of the hardest things we could do as we lost our people. We lost every sense of identity in that and who we belonged to. And after we stepped away, not shortly after that, we were on vacation with our family, trying to just enjoy each other. And we invited my sister-in-law and some her kids, and all the cousins were together. And we went to Legoland. And on that trip, my 6-year-old nephew Aramis got really sick, and he had 105 temperature, and they had to take him to the hospital. He had some medical fragility, so it was like partly there was some expectation that he has some of these ups and downs. But while we were on vacation, while we were there for Legoland's brick or treat, to trick or treat around Legoland, we're in our costumes and stuff, we were getting word that Aramis was losing his battle. And it was in that moment that it was just like, we have nobody right now. We are packing up this hotel room with a 6-year-old's costume that he wanted to wear, that he didn't get to wear. We went home without him. And there was just this other layer of grief. And those two things are just the tip of the iceberg beyond other things that were happening in that cave of my life. And I feel, and I can still feel just the weariness and this despair. In those moments, the identity piece that felt really rocked, the grief, the fear of the unknown, the triggers and the loss of community. And it, all I could do was take my kids to school and come back home and lie on the couch and just cry. And I felt like I'd lacked everything. I felt like I was lost and wandering. I was skittish. I was scared. My trust was broken everywhere. I felt alone. And trying to get out of this funk, I had a therapist tell me just to go for walks. Like, you got to get your body moving. You got to go for walks. And I would walk. And on these walks around my neighborhood, I would just wrestle with God. I would just plead with God, like Jacob, like, oh, would you bless me, God? Would you fix this? This is so unfair. This is so scary. This is so lonely. My heart is broken. Where are you? And God would not give me any direction. It felt like there was no signs and no reassurance. The only thing I would sense on these walks every day was two words. Just be. It was so infuriating and unclear. What the heck does that mean, God? Just be. I'm sitting here going through massive grief. I'm frustrated. What does that mean? Like, just be. I'm like, hey, what does that mean? Become? Like, who do I get to become? Can I be something important? Just be. Who are you creating me to be? Or just be ready for what's next. Okay, cool. No, just be. And those two words were so rich and loud in my life because he was saying, Bree, just be right here. Be still. He was subtly nudging me to let it all go, to stop trying to figure it out, to stop trying to figure out like who was right and who was wrong and why this happened and how it won't happen again. And God's like, just be, let me lead you. Let me be your shepherd. Let me stop wandering and wondering and ruminating and freaking out in the middle of the night. Let me lead, let go. And I realized the wrestling on those walks and in those moments on the couch was him just trying so hard to get me to follow. Like, I thought I was a professional follower. Oh, working at a church. Didn't understand what that meant, to follow and to just rest and be in his presence. Back to our psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. How beautiful is this that David penned this? He's not just my shepherd. He has good things for me. And you know what I read in this? He makes me lie down. He makes me lie down because there are green pastures to enjoy. He didn't say it was barren and dirty and full of stickers and thorns. These are green, lush, healthy, alive pastures. And he makes me stop and he makes me rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And why that's so important in the metaphor here with the sheep is that sheep don't know how to find either of these on their own. And they have thirst just like humans. And my human thirst, I need still, not rocky, tumultuous, crazy waves of water. I need still, clear, calming water. He leads me beside those still waters that are refreshing and cool. And then he restores my soul. He restores my broken, weary soul in his time. And not in my understanding, in his knowledge, and his plans, and not my effort. And this theme is threaded throughout Scripture. I love that David highlights this. There's so much imagery here. But over 1,000 years later, Jesus calls back to this in John chapter 10. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, these religious guys who thought they had their lives all figured out because of religion. And he drops this bomb in John 10, 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now think about this. Jesus coming into our messy world with all of our caves, all of our darkness, all the things that we're hiding from, all the things that we're struggling through. He comes in this rough world and he brings gentleness and care. I mean, mind you, he is also very stern. He was about what was right and righteous. He was about calling out people who were phony. But he brought this loving shepherd. I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for my sheep. This is a good shepherd. He came to set us free and to guide us away from the sin of this broken world and from our fears. Years later, I was continuing my walks. I still do my walks. I've got a following online that I post different drinks that I pick up in the local market on my walks because I can't make 5 miles, 3 miles, whatever I end up doing alone. I need a walking drink. I need something to accompany me on these drinks, especially in Arizona. I'm not walking today, by the way. Not once it hits past like 102, game over. But I remember these walks, and I can now say as I walk this out and I look past those places like the dog park and that specific house where I cried and those moments, those mile markers on my walks where I was pleading with God, I could walk past those and go, God, you led me out of that. God, you shepherded me. I didn't feel it. I didn't see it. I didn't hear it, and that made me so mad. But you guided me toward the green pastures and the still waters. And I can say that a lot of the trauma and the things I've shared with you, you guys, I know God has restored those. He's redeemed those in my life. And it's not perfect because there are always going to be heavy days when I need a shepherd to pen me in and to keep me close. But I needed to be in his presence. I needed to still understand that daily walk of being in his presence. And so, this weekend just happens to be my nephew Aramis's 10th birthday that we're celebrating. He hit double digits in heaven. And we celebrate his siblings and my sister-in-law. They go to the beach. That's where they spread his ashes and they hang with him and they boogie board. And it's really, we remember how cool this kid was. He was so much fun. That guy loved to dance. He loved to make you laugh. He would build any bridge with another kid by just doing this to arm wrestle. He was great. He loved to drink ranch. So I think about that all the time because World Cup right now, if you guys are watching, the people that are visiting, a lot of international people are visiting and they're really enjoying America's ranch and they're buying bottles of it and taking it home. I'm like, Aramis would have loved that. It would have been so cool. I hope you're having an awesome birthday in heaven, Aramis. What's so interesting is that on October 14th, 2022, I was on the plane ride back home after preparing Aramis's funeral and memorial service. It was at a trampoline park. And I get a text from a friend that says, actually, let me grab it. Hold if you're on the live stream 1 second. October 14, 2022, my friend Kim texts me, I have a pastor at Hope Covenant Church asking if I know anyone wanting to be in ministry part or full time. My friend Bridget sent him to me, not sure if you're all at all interested in exploring this. I was at the airport shattered, crying, thinking maybe that could be a place my family could belong. I don't know. That was 4 years ago, and I believe God has led my family and I here. The Lord is my shepherd. He brought me to where I was supposed to be. Thanks, you guys, for being my church. But I still need Jesus to be my shepherd. Like, that's not the end of the story. Like, everything's fixed. I struggle with this every day. Do you think about this? Why do we struggle with this every day? Letting God be our shepherd, letting him lead. I think about that. I really do believe that this is a cultural thing. I think this is like our own humanity, where somewhere along the way in our lives, especially as we grow up and we become more independent, somewhere along the way, we stop being sheep and we start trying to become the shepherd of our lives. We think our job is to find our own green pastures and still waters, right? We think our job is to make everyone okay, to make sure we hold everything together, that we can predict the future and plan really well, that we protect ourselves, that we save our kids, that we take care of our parents, that we fix our marriages, that we control outcomes. And then we wonder why we're so dang exhausted and lost. At some point, we stopped being sheep and we started trying to become the shepherd. Maybe you find yourself and you're thinking, have I inadvertently been shepherding myself? Have you lost track of the Lord being your shepherd? Are you able to say, not just the Lord is a shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd? I want to do a heart check. I'm going to list a couple things. If you resonate with any of these things, you might be stuck trying to shepherd yourself. First one, you might be shepherding yourself if everything depends on you. If the weight of the world and the stress of your family, your finances, your future depends on you, you might be shepherding yourself. If you can't rest, you might be shepherding yourself. If you are constantly anxious, if you're grasping for control, if you carry burdens that were never yours to carry, if there's someone else's burden and you're feeling the weight and the heaviness of their struggle, when your peace rises and falls with your circumstances, right? Can't feel okay unless the circumstances are okay. Or when you confuse, this is firstborns out here, confuse responsibility for sovereignty. I think I got this covered. Firstborn daughter. We've been interning to be the family lead since we were born. Maybe you're also exhausted from trying to manage what only God can. Just be. Just be. And let the shepherd take care. And it may not make any sense. It may not, you may not feel like if I let this go, there's just, the green pastures are gone. The little bit of pasture that I'm holding on to, I can't let that go. I don't believe God has something bigger for me. I don't believe he's taking care of this. We will all collapse. Guys, you're shepherding yourself. It's time to strengthen our faith. And here's some others, friends. If you have to understand everything, you're shepherding yourself. If you feel responsible for everyone else's outcomes, you're shepherding. If you're struggling to trust God unless you can see the whole plan, you're shepherding. If you're living in a constant state of pressure and you find it hard to be still, you're shepherding. If your prayers become a last resort instead of your first response, you're shepherding. If you believe if you let go, everything's going to fall apart, or if your identity is tied to your performance, or if you feel guilty when you're not productive, when you make decisions out of fear instead of trust, guys, you're doing the shepherd's job up here. And God says, bring it here. Be in my presence. I am the good shepherd. Pay attention to where your heart is leading you. Those are not signs that God has abandoned you when you feel this way, that you have to do life all alone. Those are not signs. Actually, you guys, these are heartaches. Like, I don't judge what's up there. I can check off every single one of those on any day. Those are real, right? And they're heart checks. And what they're designed to do, what God designed in our brokenness and in the redemption that we've got through Jesus Christ, what he is able to do is draw us back to him. If we would listen to these heart pangs, right? Like hunger pangs. You know when you get a hunger pang and you're like, I need to eat. I haven't eaten in 10 hours. A heart pang when you go, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're unsettled, right? Or when you're jolted out of sleep, or when you feel that ache at home, or when you're driving and you've got this ache in your heart of, I'm anxious, I don't feel okay, I need to control, I need to plan, I need to know what's next. That should register for you in that moment that it's time to just be. It shouldn't be upsetting. We shouldn't fight with it. We shouldn't wrestle with this. We shouldn't judge it. We should get really curious about our hearts and where we're allowing God to shepherd, come what may, not being able to see the future, seeing it as a sign to seek the good shepherd's presence, and being able to think, you know, I need to make sure the Lord is shepherding me through this. Just calming down for a second and saying, I need to make sure the Lord is shepherding me through this, that I'm not shepherding myself, I'm not grasping for temporary solutions, that I live in tune with the aches of my heart, and they're drawing me to his care. So I will wait. I will hope. I will trust and let him lead, because I don't know where the green pastures are going to come from. I cannot restore my own soul. I need to be in his presence, settled in and watching and waiting for those green pastures and still waters to emerge. Formation, remember, becoming more like Christ, developing our faith, it begins when we stop trying to be our own shepherd and learn to follow the good shepherd. Let's go back. The Lord is my shepherd. We belong to him. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. The shepherd knows what you need. He's a good, great God. Consider the birds of the air, right? He's got them covered. Everything continues on without our worry. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. We have to stop carrying what belongs to the shepherd. We've got to lie down and follow and receive. I'm going to pause here right now because there's a lot more to Psalm 23 I can't wait to get into. But we're going to do this in bites. We're going to reflect on this. We're going to pay attention to our heart pangs this week. We're going to let him lead in the smallest of ways as we wake up every day. We're going to be formed more into Christ-likeness. And we're going to learn more about the heart of David. I'm so excited for you to be a part of this. And at the very end, Leland Rounds, pastor who attends here, and he's actually helping with some other churches this summer, he's going to come and do a two-part series on the life of David. But what I want us to know is that we are being formed like David as a shepherd to be able to take on the Goliaths of our life. He wasn't just brave in a moment. That's why we don't do sermon series on be brave like David. No, be formed like David. Bring your heart to God, all of it, all the messy. Bring it to God and trust and allow him to shepherd you and make you lie down and let him be lead and let him be in control. And I hope we don't miss that because we're going to grow so much this summer. I'm really excited. But for now, I'm going to invite the band up because I feel like this is kind of raw for all of us. It's a little bit of a cliffhanger, but it's also so good to be here, to listen and to reflect on God really leading our lives. We're going to sing one last song, and I want to pray as we sing to the Good Shepherd and just prepare our hearts to sing to him. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I admit that you being my shepherd is a struggle. I admit that I want to go my own way. I feel like I've got a plan. I feel like you at times are so distant, it's hard to trust. I know my church family here, they all have their own stuff. Every person sitting here has a struggle, has something, God, that they need you to lead. We don't have only answers. There are unknowns. And Lord, we want to learn how to form more into your image, more like Jesus, so we can trust and we can live and enjoy those good things you want to bring us to. And Lord, we know you hold us when we grieve. Lord, we know that you see us when we struggle. You bring us the peace that we need. You bring us the friends and the family and the church to support us. God, I lift everyone here, especially someone who's feeling really dark today. May she know and may he know that he's not alone. That you are present, that you are strong for them. And you are leading, even when they don't know where you're taking them. Lord, we praise you. We sing out to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would all stand, we'll sing.